Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. Any song, any artist, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. You program the bumps. And today it's anything. Wild Card Wednesday. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us, our old friend Matthew Hoffman. He is the programmer for the classic film series at the Pickwick Theater, and there's a screening Thursday of Sunset Boulevard. We'll tell you all about that and more. That's coming up after the 3 o'clock news. Right now, we want to get into talking to our buddy Eric Childress. Eric, as you know, reviews movies with me and Colin Suter every Monday morning here on the show, and goes to many film festivals each year and gives us exclusive previews of some of the new movies that he sees at the festivals. And he is currently in Austin, Texas at the South by Southwest Film Festival. And we want him to join us to tell us about some of the new movies that he's seen. And another rundown. This is our second visit with Eric about South by Southwest. Let's welcome Eric to the show. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, wherever you want to start, and you've been there since Thursday, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Friday, actually.
Friday, okay. All right, Friday. And how many movies have you seen now?
What did I see? I saw four today, and I saw one, two, three, four, six yesterday. So I've seen 10 movies since we last spoke.
My God. Okay, well, wherever you want to start, man. South by Southwest Film Festival is happening right now in Austin. Typically a really fun fest, right?
Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere is always fun. It's certainly better than the weather you're having in Chicago right now.
Yeah.
I took
a walk to the Walgreens yesterday just to get needed toilet paper. It's about 400. Uh-huh. It's 400 feet from my front door, and I felt like DiCaprio in The Revenant. It was ridiculous.
Any bears?
No, I wish it would have been. I would have been better off with wrestling a bear than what it was terrible. So anyway,
killed and slept in his carcass.
That's right, exactly. So all right. So tell us wherever you want to start, man.
Yeah, well let's start right at the top. One I didn't talk about the other night with you is a movie called Lucky, and this is directed by the actor John Carroll Lynch.
Oh, sure, he's awesome.
Yeah, terrific, terrific actor. We've seen Fargo, Zodiac, countless movies. I believe it's his directorial debut. And he's chosen a great subject for to start his movie, the legendary Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And he plays Lucky in the film, a 90-year-old guy. He's an atheist. He does the same exercises, eats the same food, smokes the same cigarettes every day. He goes to the same bar, the same diner, every single day, part of his routine. One day he just kind of has a spell and just kind of collapses in his house, goes to the doctor, played by Ed Begley Jr., and basically tells him that he's just old, that he's just getting old. And what can he do about it? Well, not really a whole lot, except to sort of examine where he is, and we learn some things about him and his past, and get to know some old friends in town, some new people that he meets along the way. A just tremendous cast of characters. Don't even want to spoil a couple of them for you, because it's just. So some at least one very wonderful reunion in the film. I mean, if I was to tell you alone that this is a movie that features David Lynch in an acting role, a pretty prominent supporting role in the film, doing a monologue about the pet tortoise that has run away from him, I think that's enough to sell you on the movie there. But there are many such monologues like that in this film, and it's easy to call it kind of a one-man show for Harry Dean, but like I said, it's populated with a lot of really terrific character actors, people that we just love to see their faces pop up in film. And this is a really beautiful movie. It's a really beautiful movie about aging, about impending death, that you know it's coming, but it's not about any particular disease or, people knowing when your time is up. It's just, you're 90 years old, you know it's coming close.
Yeah.
So it's about self-examination and friendship and loss and just all these, the great things that make up life. And at the center of it, you have Harry Dean Stanton just killing it.
Yeah.
just absolutely killing it. This is a really beautiful movie and a really fantastic debut for Lynch.
Okay, that's outstanding. So John Carroll Lynch's first movie as a director, Harry Dean Stanton. Now, is this movie, is there going to be Oscar buzz for this because Harry Dean Stanton is such a legend and he's 90?
Oh, God, wouldn't that be nice? I don't know. It hasn't been picked up as of yet, to my knowledge. I can't imagine someone wouldn't want to take a chance on it and maybe try to mount some sort of campaign for him.
I mean, he's a national treasure, for God's sake.
Seriously. I mean, it seems like it might be one of those kind of almost too low-key kind of movies to generate that kind of campaign towards the end of the year. But you figure you got to at least make a run at it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's the first one. We got to take a break, Eric. Hang on, okay?
Okay.
Eric Childress is with us. He's live at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. We're getting exclusive looks at some of the movies that he saw. A film with Harry Dean Stanton called Lucky, he loved. All right. Now, we'll take a break here for the news, and we'll come back and talk more with Eric on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. After 3 o'clock, we'll talk with Matthew Hoffman about his latest screening at the Pickwick Theater. And we are going to talk about the classic ad campaigns of all time. And right now, though, we want to get back to talking with Eric Childress, who is live at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas, giving us exclusive looks at some of the movies that he's seen that we will see in the coming weeks or months. And he does that for us pretty much at all the major film festivals. And let's welcome Eric back to the show. All right, Eric, welcome back, man.
Well, thank you.
All right, where do you want to go next?
Let's go to someone that I believe you're a fan of, and that's Noah Wells.
Yes. Oh, man, yes. Yes, I love her. I love her.
Well, she has written and directed her own film, and it's called Mr. Roosevelt.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Roosevelt refers to a cat that she had in a relationship with an old boyfriend that she just kind of up and left one day just to sort of wasn't quite sure what direction she was taking her life. And she just kind of up and left. And now she's working as a wannabe actress in Los Angeles. When she gets a call one day that from her ex that the cat has died. So she goes back to her hometown and ends up staying with her ex and his fiance, I believe. Fiance or his wife at the time. And it's kind of this, you know, this young life crisis for her, exactly, you know, seeing the sort of the life that she could have had with this guy and, just trying to realize that, maybe her current ambitions in Los Angeles are not all that's cracked up to be. There's really kind of a young adult vibe. I mean, Jason Reitman film, young adult.
Yeah.
In this, not quite the same sort of bite and mean spirit that's behind the motivations in that film, but there are more than a few similarities within it. But Noelle is a very charming presence. She opens the film doing a whole bunch of impressions for God's sake, which is really pretty fantastic. And it's not great. It's not entirely polished. And like I said, it does have wear a few of its influences on its sleeve. But she's very charming, and there are some good laughs in the film. and God bless her, she shot the film on 35 millimeter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Does this film need to be on 35 millimeter? I don't know, but she did it, and she was very proud of the fact that she did it.
Yeah.
So props to her for that.
Yeah.
And I think, we've seen a lot of comedians and stuff, try to do films like this before, and this one probably blends into that pack. But you see it on cable or whatever, you would definitely not turn it off. So I would recommend it.
Okay, that's Mr. Roosevelt, written and directed and starring Noelle Wells, who people might remember from SNL her great role on Master of None.
Right.
Yeah, she's great.
Right.
Okay, cool. I see Doug Benson is in it. I'm assuming he plays a character who's high.
Was he high in the movie? He's very angry in the film.
Yeah, okay. All right. I
know he's hot. It might be the one time he's not high on screen, actually. He plays her boss in the movie, like some sort of almost like telemarketing marketing company that she works for, and he's just always angry at her.
Okay, all right. Yeah. You know, he's got a new show called The High Court.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Kills me. It kills me. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious. Yeah. All right. So what do you? It's Mr. Roosevelt. What's next?
Well, we covered some of those big upcoming theatrical releases that we talked about. We talked about Baby Driver. We talked about The Disaster Artist. But there's another one that got added to this schedule late at South by Southwest, and it's a movie opening in July called Atomic Blonde.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see this.
Seen the trailer for this?
Yeah, I've seen the Red Band trailer for it, and I kind of lost my mind.
Yeah, and if you see the Red Band trailer, and if you were to describe it to people, I think all you probably need to say to get people interested is Charlize Theron kicks ass playing a lesbian CIA agent or MI6 agent of something of the sort, correct?
Yeah.
That's about all you need, right?
Well, and James McAvoy's in it, so...
you're McAvoy.
My boy McAvoy's in it, so...
That's right.
Yeah.
So what the movie is, what the plot basically is about, is that it's set during the sort of the waning days of the Cold War, sort of right before the Berlin Wall came down, and Charlize Theron plays an MI6 agent the movie is told in flashback, as we find out this mission that she had to retrieve this list of intelligence assets that has been stolen. It's always a list. They're always losing a list of intelligence assets in these movies. Every single movie, they're always losing the list.
Right.
So another one's been taken, and she has to track it down. And her contact in Berlin is James McAvoy, who is sort of kind of gone off the rails. He's still an ex-bureau chief, I believe he's referred to in the movie. And he basically just sort of makes his living off the black market, but he's still in touch with the agency, and they use him for jobs like this. So, yes, Charlize Theron is the IC agent, and him is the sort of, just flying off the rails and just enjoying life in a way that she apparently cannot.
Yeah.
So it's a hunt for this list, and Eddie Marzon plays a guy that has knowledge of the list and might be able to lead them to the list for safe passage out of Berlin in this troubling times. And it's a movie filled with double crosses and spies and young spies, old spies, and John Goodman is a CIA agent who's unfortunately given very little to do in this movie. He just basically gets to sit in the briefing room and listen to Charlize Theron tell the story for the whole movie. So the stuff that you are enticed by in the trailer, the action sequences that are hinted at, are of the level of John Wick that you're expecting, frankly.
Yeah.
The movie was directed by David Leitch, who's sort of uncredited co-director of the first John Wick film.
He's a
stunt coordinator. This is his first time as a solo behind the camera. He's just been hired to do Deadpool 2, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And so the action scenes in this movie are top-notch.
Yeah.
Absolutely top-notch. What you see in the trailer, and there's a sequence about two-thirds of the way through the movie where Charlize Theron has to fight off bad guys on a staircase while someone that she's protecting has been shot and is bleeding up and down the stairs, and she just has to go from elevator to staircase and fight all these guys, and it's done in a Children of Men style one shot.
Yeah, there's a portion of that in the trailer, and I noticed that there was a real long take.
Yeah, and that sequence alone is almost worth the price of admission.
Mm.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the movie is very much a long slog, really thinking it's telling some sort of really kind of interesting, important story about the end of the Cold War and the importance of the breakdown of what all these people were fighting for at the time. But none of that really comes off, because every time you get a really big action sequence, it certainly breaks the monotony, but you just want to keep going back to that. So all the talking and all the neon lighting and all the explanations about who's been double-crossed and who's working for which side and all this stuff really doesn't hold much interest, at least not for me. The action sequences are very few and far between. There's probably at least a bit from each one in the trailer, I think there are only like maybe three, maybe four sort of major, you know, butt kicking sequences in the film. And the rest of that is a lot of talking and a lot of Charlize Theron, who can't, she's certainly got the moves and the action sequences. She's killer there. And I think what they're clearly going for is the sort of the icy queen of the, you know, of the Cold War. There's, you know, the metaphor is certainly not lost.
Right.
But they don't really, there's not much in the way of characters. And the fact that they would introduce James McAvoy as the sort of the fire to her ice, it seems like we're going to get that really cool partnership between the two of them. And other than their sort of their very first scene and a half together, they're kept apart for pretty much the rest of the movie, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. All right.
So it's kind of a near miss for me.
Okay. Atomic Blonde. It's weird because, like, there's a gas station right near my apartment that has a billboard and they slap movie posters up on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a poster up for this. It comes out the end of July.
Yeah.
I saw the poster. I'm like, what? It's March.
They seem very confident in it. I haven't read a lot of the notices here.
I went nuts when I saw the trailer. I got to tell you, I kind of lost my mind.
Most everyone did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a very well cut trailer and it looks very enticing. Like I said, and those action scenes, I mean, they're second to none. They're absolutely great.
It's just that there's not enough of them.
There's not enough of them.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Hang on, Eric. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Eric Childress is with us, and we got a few more minutes with Eric to talk about the South by Southwest Film Festival. That one, what we just talked about, is Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron, James McAvoy, and it opens in July. Big action movie. Okay, we'll take a break. We come back and talk a little bit more with Eric Childress on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Do it now, 312-981-7200. Eric Childress is with me. You hear him every Monday morning reviewing the movies, and he does exclusive reviews for us at film festivals. He is currently in Austin, Texas at the South by Southwest Film Festival. We got a few more minutes with Eric. All right, Eric, we're talking movies. What else do you want to talk about? Let's jump to the next one.
Yeah, I want to talk about a movie that I just saw tonight called Porto. And it's notable for a couple reasons. One, it was co-written and directed by Gabe Klinger, who is actually a former member of the Chicago Film Critics Association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a documentary a couple years ago called Double Play that's about Richard Linklater.
Right.
Yeah, he did one of the like 17 documentaries on Richard Linklater that came out. but this is a narrative, and the other thing that's notable about it is that it's one of the final screen appearances of Anton Yelchin.
Mm.
It's a movie about it's basically a time fractured romance tale of Anton Yelchin as a guy in Porto, who meets this woman played by, and her name is Lucy Lucas, a really stunning presence in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of traces, you know, we sort of see like the end of the relationship and wondering, the whole movie is shrouded in mystery, exactly how these people got together, what drove them apart, how long this romance actually lasted is kind of left as a bit of a mystery. And it's a movie that very clearly wears its European influences like right there for you. And again, the time fracture thing kind of, it seems like a gimmick at first, but the more that is revealed about, you know, who these characters are and how they met and all this kind of stuff, it really begins to take on a much greater significance. I really liked this film.
Mm.
It's sad watching. It's really sad watching Anton Yelchin. And there's another movie at Sundance that I talked about called Thoroughbred.
Yeah.
That I think he gives two, you know, really stellar performances at, you know, which is now at the end of his career, end of his life.
That really sucks. You know? That really sucks.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
So this is a movie. It's not going to be a movie for everybody. Like I said, it's very European. There's a lot of quiet. You have to sort of piece together things in your mind, you know, where things go. But there's a real sense of closure is not the right word, but it's a movie that you, as you're experiencing it, it's like watching the, you know, your own sort of remembrance of like the great first romances that you've had in your life, those first great moments.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that, you know, even as bad as some of them may have turned out in the end, that it was still worth going for just those few fleeting moments.
Mm.
And that's what this movie is kind of about.
All right, cool. That's called Porto. Yeah. You just saw that one last night. Okay, I think we got time for one more.
One more. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, let me tell you about the Midnight movie that I just saw tonight.
All right.
It's a movie called Game of Death. And no, it does not feature Bruce Lee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in basketball shorts.
Oh, damn it.
I'm sorry. It's not that Game of Death. But what the movie is about, it's about a group of seven friends who in having a little get-together, and they discover this game in their house, almost like a Jumanji type of game, a little board game that they start playing, and as they press their thumbs up against each of their spots, the game takes a bit of their blood and puts it into the game and basically tells them that they have to find 24 people to kill in a certain amount of time. Otherwise, the game is going to kill them itself.
Mm. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So it seems like we got a movie coming out.
Yeah, coming
out
to Belko Experiment.
Belko Experiment.
Yeah.
And I can just say right there, just see the Belko Experiment.
Mm.
Not that Game of Death is going to be coming necessarily to a theater anytime near you.
I'm looking at it on IMDb, and they have it listed as a TV series.
Well, that's exactly what I was just getting to. Is that we found out tonight that it's actually a webisode series.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was pieced together 9 minutes at a time into this 75-minute feature.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we were not really happy to find that out.
Yeah,
but it flows enough like a feature. In you don't see any like webisode cuts or anything like that. But being a webisode is this movie is just rife with issues. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's extraordinary bloody. I mean, if that's all you need. But I maybe you can help me with this, Nick. This is a conversation we should have on the show sometime. Like, is it ever? How fun is it when a horror movie presents you with nothing but idiots?
Yeah.
For an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you've liked some movies like Hostel and things like that.
Yeah.
Where sometimes you like seeing these idiots bumped off.
I did in the first Hostel. I enjoyed seeing the douchebags get their comeuppance in the first Hostel.
Right. But if you just have that from the get-go, and I don't care how charming the actors might be, how well you like them, if they're all portraying douchebags in a film, why do we have any rooting interest from minute one to minute 75?
That's totally legit complaint. No question about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and that's what you get with Game of Death.
Okay, so. Game of Death. All right, well, there you go. Coming to a web near you.
That's right.
That was pretty sneaky of them.
Yeah, we get there and it's like, oh, yeah, it's a webisode. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, now, when are you coming back, Eric?
Thursday. Hopefully the snow will stop by then.
Yeah, no, we'll be clear. It'll be fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You missed the whole damn thing in Texas. all right, man. Well, listen, we'll do another report on Monday when you get back. We'll do a final, wrap-up of everything in South by Southwest. Have fun while you're still there, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm going to get a few more things to see, and then I'll be probably watch the screeners all the way up to Sunday night.
Cool. Well, then I'll talk to you on Monday morning, buddy.
Sounds good, man.
There you go. Eric Childress. You can follow him at Eric with a K, Eric the Movie Man, on Twitter. You can follow him there. And you can hear him every Monday morning on this show and read him at efilmcritic.com and rogerebert.com as well. All right. We got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next. And after the news, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us to talk about his latest screening of the great film Sunset Boulevard. Okay. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN.